May 5th, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 78.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang up. Wherever there's a hang up, you'll find the Spider-Man.
Hey, can I ask you something?
What?
What's forget about it? What is that?
Forget about it. It's like, if you agree with someone, you know, like Raquel Welch is one great piece of ass, forget about it. But then, if you disagree, like a Lincoln is better than a Cadillac, forget about it. Mm-hmm. You know? But then, it's also like if something is the greatest thing in the world, like Mingo, those peppers, forget about it, you know? But it's also like saying go to hell, too. Like, you know, like, hey, Bully, you got a one-inch pecker, and Bully says, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Bully, forget about it.
Sometimes it just means forget about it.
All right. Thank you very much. I got it.
Let me tell you something. I don't get this bow for Lefty. What?
Forget about it?
Forget about it.
B-A-B-E-B-B-E-I-Bicky-Bye-B-O-Bo-Bicky-Bye-Bo-B-U-Boo-Bicky-Bye-Bo-Boo. C-H-A-C-E-C-C-I-Sicky-Sigh-C-O-So-Sicky-Sigh-So-C-U-Soo-Sicky-Sigh-So-Soo.
Get the idea, girls? Now we'll all join together on the letter D.
Everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Welcome back to the show. We had a fantastic show last week. We were nominated for several Emmys and Tony Awards.
It's when I start singing, I can't resist it.
Yes, doing those show tunes, much like Hugh Jackman, something like that. Mm-hmm. But exactly. I welcome you back to the show, everyone. We have a huge show for you this week. To start things off, I'd like to introduce my my mates. What? I don't even know what it is.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Governor.
First of all, here, we do not have Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. He is not here.
He's MIA.
Yes, he sent me a text message, a very cryptic one, saying, at party, trying to get free. And I was like, huh? So I
he's
think
he's gonna get free.
I picture him in like you know how on Alias they put her in like this slutty outfit and she'd go to like a cocktail party and then take some pictures up in the office while everyone's down in the backyard.
You're exactly right. I know Steven loves those slutty outfits.
And he's uploading a flash drive right now and then he'll send it out on a hot air balloon or something. So he'll be to the show as soon as he can is basically what it is. And the person I've been talking to is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian, who is not in his library. Am I right, Bill?
No, I'm not.
Where are you?
I'm in the Emerald City.
You're in Oz?
Yes, the Emerald City in Oz.
Nice.
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Awesome!
Oh, I've been there.
Okay, let me ask you, is it raining right now?
Yes, it is, actually.
Oh, come on! Come on, Seattle! So stereotypical.
It's about 50 degrees and raining and nasty and just miserable.
Okay, have you seen any grunge rockers walking down the street?
No, I haven't seen any grunge rockers.
How many Starbucks have you driven?
I think there's actually one on every corner.
Jesus! Okay, have you listened to Fraser Crane's show yet on the radio?
On the radio? No, I haven't.
Tossed scrambled
but
eggs.
But I do feel like eating tossed salad and scrambled
there
eggs.
There you go.
Hey, who doesn't, though? It's delicious. So, what do you think of Seattle? Pretty cool?
It's a beautiful city, if not slightly dreary.
A lot of pregnant women.
Well, I haven't really noticed.
They have the highest teen pregnancy rate in the whole country.
Don't they also have the highest suicide rate?
That's probably why.
Yeah, a lot of people have those light therapy things. It's really not that bad. It's a beautiful place. It's spring. It's raining. It may be dreary, but it really is just a beautiful place.
You know, I never thought I'd be susceptible to that weather thing, like, oh, it's so dreary. But there's a period of time where we had like 2 weeks of overcast. And after 2 weeks, I was like, I can't take this crap anymore. I want some sunlight. I don't like this. So I'm not sure I'd be able to handle it living there.
I think you could.
And plus, I don't like coffee either, so.
Well, you know what's great about Seattle is, you know, there's a general rebellion against Starbucks. So they have a lot of really nice independent coffee roaster places.
Like Central Perk on Friends, something like that?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, they have couches and stuff where just a clique of people hang out all day. And
cool.
And they're supporting them for some reason.
Also singing Smelly Cat, stuff like that.
Yes, Smelly Cat.
Awesome. Unbelievable.
Am I the only one who did not like Friends?
No.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, I thought she was.
No, I Because
I love Friends. I mean, when Ross and Rachel, that whole thing, but also you had the whole Monica Chandler. It was just an unbelievable series, and I'm sorry.
That's whenever it got really, really good, the Monica Chandler stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they weren't grabbing at straws at all.
No, not at all.
Now, guys, there's all sorts of, like, insane things that have happened this week. And one of them, have you guys heard about this, where Britney decided to perform at a House of Blues in Hollywood?
Yeah, she's doing them all over California.
Yeah, this kind of impromptu performance. And I just heard it was mass pandemonium. It was insane.
Announced impromptu performance.
Yeah. It's a secret, but I'm announcing it a week earlier, but it was just crazy. Let's check it out.
Britney arrived. The paparazzi went bonkers, literally fighting, complete with headlocks and spitting with House of Blues security. With five dancers by her side, Britney opened up with Hit Me Baby One More Time. Access Hollywood producer Nick Friedman was in the audience. Go, Nick.
People were pretty amped.
Go, Nick.
Quickly
yeah, I think they were actually asking someone to hit her.
People were just kind of sitting there saying, wow.
Wow, because the audience appeared disappointed.
Wait a second. Wait. What was with that piano? He's like, everyone was sitting around puzzled, and it was like, dun, 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 dun.
But they, you know, they have to build it up, and then he drops that everyone was puzzled.
People were just kind of sitting there saying, wow.
Wow, because the audience appeared disappointed. Britney lip-synced all six songs
music.
In her 15-minute set.
And you could tell, I mean, she was off. Her timing was off. You could tell she wasn't even trying, like, to sing. She was just, like, moving her lips.
Oh my God, so serious.
Well, then why bother? Go home and eat some Cheetos.
And if you looked on YouTube after that, like a million people uploaded their videos. Like, here's Britney in action. I was there, and it was all about being there.
In the age of camera phones, you know, they say don't bring any cameras or bring these camera phones that can record video.
Yeah, apparently.
Like, you really think you're going to get away with it?
We're learning that everyone goes to YouTube to upload. There's just. I mean, apparently, if you're in a divorce, your divorcee tends to upload anything bad you did, like this.
But those are the losers. The real people sell their shit to TMZ.
Yeah, what is that about? Like this Hasselhoff stuff. Have you guys seen this? Where apparently, I didn't. First of all, I didn't know the guy had a problem with alcohol. Did you guys?
No, I didn't either.
Remember when he did America's Got Talent, people were joking that he seemed really weird and drugged on the show, like he was acting really goofy, and they were like, is he drunk? And I'm wondering, was he drunk when he was doing that? Maybe.
God, I would have to be if I was sitting next to Brandy.
What it comes down to is, I guess his daughter was sick of him being drunk and filmed him drunkenly eating a Wendy's single, or is it a double? That's one thing.
I don't know what it was.
They don't make that clear on the video.
That's my talent.
Really?
No.
Shut up, Brandy. How's Brandy telling anyone they're not talented?
Well, L. Ron Hubbard has told her what talent is.
Bonkers.
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 You remember that cartoon in the 90s, Bonkers?
Bonkers. T-Bubcat? Bobcat? Or?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so anyway, I feel sorry for David Hasselhoff. I don't think the guy's talented and all that, but it's really embarrassing. And it's something his family should deal with, but it's just all over the internet now. Everyone wants to see
it. The release of the video is just wholly inappropriate.
When I was sitting there watching it, I turned it off halfway because I was so disturbed by it. Just like, it seems like a personal thing. And
it does. And, you know, it's like he told his daughter, he said, if I get drunk and I'm completely unmanageable, I need you to tape me so that I can see it. And you know, it's like a wake-up call for him. It's his own personal intervention. And for the fact that his wife, you know, got a hold of it and released it as like a divorce thing, that's so
do you think
unclassy.
Him and Alec Baldwin are gonna be hooking up soon, having dinner, talking about
right,
some drinks, some cocktails,
let's talk about
you
our
vile
bitch
little
ex-wife.
Pig.
Yeah, you're a pig. You don't answer your phone when I call.
I don't care how old you are. 10, 12, 13.
You know, I thought that was sad too, because he's talking to his daughter, and apparently they had made up over that. He apologized and blah, blah, blah. That was all handled behind closed doors. And then this comes out opening it all up, and that's kind of sad too.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play this. Now, for you guys, we got a voicemail here, and it's by a guy named Mick McCart. He's our boy, Mick McCart. He's a big fan. He does a podcast called Lost in Mulberry, which, Bill, is like the ultimate fan mail, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I love doing it. In fact, I got an email that he's working on a new script, and we'll be doing another show here shortly. But also, he has Saginaw Conspiracy and,
Captain Jolt,
which is pretty crazy and funny.
Yeah, so basically what he's done is he's created a podcast with Credo, his sidekick, and they
Jim Lewis.
Yeah, they put together an adventure going on in Mulberry. It comes out each episode with all the different people we've talked about on the show, from Jonathan from Blowout to
Mr. T,
Carl Monday.
Carl Monday is very evil. So is U-Bowl.
So it's just crazy, but let's check out what Mick has to say.
Hey, Mulberry Gang, it's Mick, also known as Captain Jolt from the Captain Jolt Podcast. You know, me and my Lost in Mulberry rescue team have been trapped in the trash compactor since Lost in Mulberry 8, you know, while waiting for episode 9 to come out. So me and Mr. T decided to review Grindhouse real quick before Darth Jonathan recruits us into his mindless space thuggy.
Okay, first of all, Grindhouse is, I don't even think, in theaters anymore, but that's okay, because I want to know what Mick has to say about it.
Well, actually, it's the only movie playing at the Seattle Cinerama right now. I was hoping Spider-Man 3 would be, but it's Grindhouse, so
really?
It's still out there, yeah.
Is that like a huge theater, too?
Yeah, it is.
Wow, that's crazy. You know what? I might go see Grindhouse at a big theater like that, because it's not around here
I was thinking about
anymore.
It.
Love the fun action of Planet Terror.
That's right, Jack.
I really appreciate the zombie killing.
Got that right, crazy man.
Man, I really like the phony trailers, too.
Don't touch that.
Shit, you mean don't talk about death, Craig? What a snoozer.
Got no time for the jibber-jabber.
Hey, I like
That's
Death Proof.
Great. During the 5 minutes, he was actually in the movie.
Watch it, sucker.
I'll watch it again, but only the first half. Anyways, guys, thanks for the good shows as always. I'm trying to diligently send you a new message every 25 podcasts or so. Talk to you guys at 100.
Every 25.
Hello?
Uh-oh, that's Darth Jonathan. We gotta go.
What the hell's going on? Whoa!
You're through! You're washed up! I'm the baddest in the world!
No, I gotta agree with Mick, though, because Planet Terror was crazy. It was a lot of fun, but it got a little boring at times. But Death Proof, the opening of it, it just should have concentrated on the hot girls that end up getting in the car accident, because the second part was really kind of
boring for me. I thought the second half of Death Proof was so entertaining with the car stuff that I guess I judged it as the whole, like, okay, yeah, that was pretty fun. That was a lot of fun, because I really love how it ends, you know?
Well, yeah, the ending is great.
And so I think that reflected on the whole thing. But I got to tell you, when Planet Terror was over, and I was like, okay, I got to go pee so bad, but I want to watch the fake trailers. By the time the fake trailers were over, and then Death Proof starts, I love, like, the opening of Death Proof and the music and everything. That I was like, will there ever be a chance for me to urinate during this movie? Jesus. And finally,
you were praying to Jesus to pee?
Yes. And finally, the girls sit down and they start talking, and I'm like, this is my chance.
Yep, totally.
And I urinated for, like, 5 minutes.
That's
I told you that you should take, those three-hour movies, you got to take, like, Imodium AD, you know, not necessarily because you have diarrhea, but because it zaps your body of all liquid.
Nice. Well, what was funny is by the time I got back, they were still having a conversation.
I know. Well, the entire movie was one long conversation.
But I'm going to say... I'm going to say this, since the movie is so long with Planet Terror, that if I sat down from the beginning and started watching Death Proof, I probably wouldn't have that same attitude. You know what I mean? I would have the patience to sit there. But it's almost like you've just seen this insane roller coaster ride with, I'm not even going to call them zombies in Planet Terror. Now, let's get that straight right now. They're mutants, okay?
Yeah, in fact, I thought that Planet Terror should have been the closer.
Yes, I really think that too. Should have been switched around.
Yeah.
You can almost see how Quentin Tarantino, he wanted to do a Grindhouse-style flick. I understand that. But it looks like Robert Rodriguez is like, I'm going to go insane. I'm going to put scratches on the film. It's going to happen.
Robert Rodriguez actually made a Grindhouse flick.
They both did in a way, but sometimes I think Robert Rodriguez got so, like, insane with the toys he was using.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And there were certain scenes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was laughing my ass off through the entire thing of Planet Terror. It was that funny. There are certain parts of the movie where I was like, huh? Like, first of all, there's this weird obsession with gonads in it.
Yeah, that was...
There was
and then the,
ball humor.
Quentin Tarantino. Character, the rape scene thing with the dripping thing.
Yeah, it's a melting schlong.
Yeah, that was a little much.
And that may have been funny to the filmmakers, but I mean, it was disgusting, right?
It was.
And there was
you can take all the exploding heads you want, but when you start showing me dripping dick,
I'm out. You know, it's unfortunate the movie didn't make any money, but what can you say? Vanessa, have you seen Grindhouse yet?
No, I won't see it, probably, until it comes on cable.
Till cable? You're not even going to rent it on DVD?
She only watches movies on Stars.
Stars. Gotta watch Skinamax, too.
That's crazy, Vanessa.
Bonkers!
That's bonkers, Vanessa.
It's bonkers.
Bonkers.
Old lady even hit by fruit.
Now, Bill, when you're there in Seattle... I mean, what is the abundance of theaters like? Like, here in Texas, right now there's that, you know, the massive multiplex. But do they have any of the old-style two-theater or big opera house?
Yeah, they actually do. They have a single screen theater from like 1920 called the Landmark.
Wow, that's what I love.
And it's absolutely beautiful. In fact, they have it set up with digital projection and all that. So I think it seats almost 900 people.
That's how theaters should be.
That's so, the kind of
I've always wanted to build like a classic type theater, but I haven't seen if they're showing Spider-Man 3 or anything. So I definitely want to go see it there if it's playing.
Well, I saw Spider-Man 3 yesterday with Steven, and let's go ahead and get into entertainment. We'll talk a little about it. Too bad Steven can't join in. Entertainment! All right, guys, I got some crazy stuff to talk about.
Bonkers!
No, not bonkers. I guess, what is the definition of bonkers? Is it crazy, or is it zany, or which is it?
I think zany works better than crazy.
Like bananas.
Bonkers.
Bananas.
Yeah, I like that.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Bananas.
Now, guys, I went to see Spider-Man 3 yesterday, and I got to tell you, one thing that I keep reading people talk about is that I was really pumped up to see this. I've been waiting for it. I used to be like that. Vanessa, you can attest to this, how I'd be insane about movies. I would just freaking talk about them. I would be obsessed. I would watch it every
like
time.
On your date?
Every time commercials would come on, I would record. I remember when Batman was coming out, Bill, the Tim Burton. I would record every show that had anything to do with Batman. And I wish I had that VHS cassette tape.
Howard the Duck, too. I remember that one.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Tell him about the Abyss, Jason. Why don't you tell him how you went on a hot date and then you found out you got free tickets to see the Abyss?
What is the definition of a hot date? I think it means sex is at the end of it, and that's not what it was.
Okay, Melissa's gorgeous. Okay, Melissa, she's my best friend, and she had the hots for Jason forever and ever and ever. And they finally go out on a date, and they go to, I don't remember what movie you're going to see, but there was somebody out handing.
We went to see Pet Sematary.
Yes.
And that's a feel-good date movie that year.
Yeah, it was really just like I wanted to put a bullet in my head at the end of it.
Well,
can I tell the story?
Out.
I was there.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There you go.
First of all, as a James Cameron freak, I mean, Terminator, Aliens, are you kidding me? Okay? I watched Terminator and Aliens a gazillion times on VHS and cable. I was just obsessed with everything James Cameron did. I couldn't wait to see this movie, The Abyss. I didn't know what it was really about, only it had to do with underwater. So we're coming out of the theater, and I'm already thinking, well, what do we do now on this date? We're going to go to the food court or something? And this lady's like, would you like to go to a free screening in a month? And I was like, sure, what movie is it? And she goes, it's a new movie by the director James Cameron. I was like, what? And she was like, he was the writer and director of Terminator and Aliens. I like finished her. She was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I want to go. And she handed me one and Vanessa's friend one that I don't even remember her
Melissa.
Name.
Melissa.
No, I knew her name. Stop. But it was like, you can go to a free screening with you and a friend. And they'll basically, it's like one of those screenings, Bill, where you rate it, I guess, and what you think of it.
Yeah,
they show both endings.
So it was like both endings. I don't think they had two endings. So can I tell the story? Or so basically, it was like a month away. It was like May. It was like something like April or something. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go see The Abyss. It's the most, you know, I was anticipating this movie unbelievably. But anyway, the day comes, and we were about to walk out the freaking door, and the lady took my name and phone number. She calls, or it's not even her that calls, but whoever calls me, someone calls from the screening, and they go, we were just calling to let everyone know that the screening has been canceled, which it turns out that The Abyss wasn't finished yet. They were working on the film up until the release, you know?
Yeah, they were.
And finally, as the story goes, that James Cameron cut out a huge chunk of the ending instead of going through...
That made sense. That
which shouldn't have been cut
out.
Right. Instead of going through and whittling down from the top beginning to end, he just took out a huge chunk of the ending and slapped it together. So when you see the finished ending or the ending that got chopped out, you're like, hey, this is the part he shouldn't have taken out of the film.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw the full cut on Laserdisc, I was like, why did you cut that out?
It's it's a completely different film. Now, when I finally
makes the movie. It just makes it.
First of all, that talk about deflating that phone call. I mean,
I can imagine.
I was so friggin' pumped up. It's almost like at that point, I became a different Jason. The non-anticipate as much film Jason.
That's the point where the boy became a man.
It was like... just deflated. And later I saw... It said June 29th or something, The Abyss was coming out. It was pushed all the way back to late August. Finally, by the time the film comes out, I was like, I don't even care anymore. I don't want to see it. So I go to see the film, and, you know, it was fine, and something seemed a little amiss in the third act. It's just like, it kind of ended abruptly. Oh, well, this had some cool sequences. So that was it until T2 came out, and that totally blew me away. It had knives and stabbing weapons, and that was history, right? So anyway, coming back to Spider-Man, and I love Spider-Man, the first one, although I thought it could be better. Spider-Man 2, I absolutely loved. I mean, I thought, when I saw Spider-Man 2, I was like, this is the most perfect comic book film I've ever seen. It's just that awesome. I loved it. So that was it. So when Spider-Man 3 is coming out, I got to tell you guys, it didn't even register. I wasn't excited at all. I was more excited about seeing Hot Fuzz than anything. So this movie comes, and I go see it, and I have no preconceived notions. I don't care about, you know, it's a Sam Raimi film, and I'm ready to see it.
I've pretty much avoided the trailers and everything.
And one thing, I don't know, I'm addicted to this, Bill, and I don't know why I do this, but I look at people's reviews, and I go online and see the talkback section on Ain't It Cool News.
Oh, that's the worst place. That's totally the worst place to go.
I got a home theater forum, and I see...
Again, worst place to go.
I'm really disappointed, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, all these guys are turning on... They're all Spider-Man haters. What's going on? You know, they're all turning their backs on Sam. And
well, you know what? I expected that, because that's just the way people are. They have this knee-jerk reaction, even if they haven't seen it. Because I even joked with you today. I sent you a message and said that Spider-Man sucked.
Yeah, because that's what everyone's saying.
I haven't seen it yet.
But not everyone's saying. I've seen some good reviews of it. So I go to see the film, right? And first of all, I got to tell you what I love about the first Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 is they take elements from the comic book that are very down-to-earth to the storyline of Peter having problems paying his rent, him and his Aunt May, him always having love for Mary Jane, he can't hold a job down and stuff like that. And I love that stuff. And naturally, there are probably some people who want to go see it for the kick-ass action scenes, right?
But it's always nice to have a story grounded in some form of reality, especially something as fantastical as Spider-Man.
What I'll say, what I love about Spider-Man 3 is the balance they have between Mary Jane, Peter, Eddie Brock, the Sandman, Aunt May. They involve all these characters. First of all, there are three freaking villains in this film. There's the Sandman, which is, I think they took a character which is, you know, in the if you read the comics or even the cartoon, it's a guy whose body is made of sand and he can form objects and hit Spider-Man. But they gave him a storyline. They showed that he was a common crook. But the reason that he was a crook is because his daughter is dying and he needs money. And this unfortunate
character with no depth.
Yeah, and Thomas Hayden Church just rocked in it. And I got to tell you right now, Bill, the scene where he basically, it's almost like he's killed and brought back as Sandman. The whole sequence of him trying to figure out how to pull himself together as sand and start walking. He like keeps falling apart and he's trying to pull himself together as he's rising from the sand is... That whole sequence was just friggin' awesome. I'm going to almost say it was beautiful. It gave me chills how cool it was. The whole birth of Sandman thing.
You know, once I get back home, hopefully it's still playing, but I really want to see it in that
hopefully it's
IMAX.
Still playing? Are you kidding? It broke the box office records of all time yesterday.
I saw that. So once I get back on Wednesday... Tuesday, I'm definitely going to go see it.
And here's the thing. I see a lot of complaints about Venom. A lot of, because there was an era of time where I read comic books, so there's the Golden Age, Silver Age, or whatever, but there was this period of time when Venom was in the comic books where kids, young kids, are like, oh man, he's badass, he's awesome, and you know, he's so scary.
I was a kid. Venom was, it was Venom and Carnage.
Right, and yeah. I'm going to say it was a device that kind of was lame, I thought.
Well, you know, I was younger, much, you know, than you at that time, and I just thought, you know, that Carnage and Venom were just the coolest things ever.
Yeah, and I think Todd McFarlane's artwork helped sell that in a way, you know?
Definitely.
And here's the thing. Basically, for anyone who doesn't know, in the comic books, Peter Parker or Spider-Man encounters the living symbiote that attaches to his body, and he becomes a black costume in Marvel Secret Wars, which was like a miniseries where... this guy named the Beyonder sucked all the superheroes and villains onto a one place where they had to fight it out in this ultimate battle. Talk about ultimate fanboy stuff, like, awesome!
Like how this past Civil War, the Marvel Civil War, that was really big fanboy.
Yeah, it was a huge crossover in Marvel, the Secret Wars. Well, anyway, while Spider-Man's there in that place, he finds this living symbiote and helps him become more powerful. Well, naturally, in this film, Spider-Man 3, they can't have, oh, remember Secret Wars, Pete? You know, they can't do all that. So what they have is a meteor hit, and it comes out of it. I mean, what else? How else can you explain it other than something escapes from a science lab? But they've already done that in Spider-Man. That's how the spider bit him and all that. So I had no problem with that at all. And that is being alluded to the whole time. You know, Venom is always in the background as there's other developments with Harry Osborn. Now, I got to tell you guys right now that Harry Osborn's character in Spider-Man 2, I was just like, oh, God, this is driving me crazy. I don't care if he wants to kill Pete and whatever.
Yeah, the whiny bitch
character.
He's
nice to look at, but that's it.
Oh, and, for God's sake.
But I got to tell you.
Talk about boobies.
But I got to tell you right now, Bill, that his involvement in this and the way that they top it off towards the climax of the film, I just thought was awesome. And I was like, you know what? What they've done here is friggin' awesome. And I was happy with that. I thought it was really cool how they brought
the entire thing that started with one full circle.
Right. They had a nice arc, and I really liked what they did there.
Cool.
And I got to say, I don't know. Do I go easy on these films? I don't know. I hardly ever get to go to the movies, and when I do, I'm in a great mood, and I'm all excited, and... But I got to tell you,
if you're a fan, you're a fan. So there's no reason to go hard on it.
When I say I'm a fan of Spider-Man, I'm not just a fan of Spider-Man. I'm a fan of Peter Parker. I'm a fan of Aunt May and everything that involves J. Jonah Jameson. There's scenes where he's at the Daily Bugle with J. Jonah in this and the whole staff. They're just so funny. There's such a humor in this. And one thing that you guys might know, I don't know by reading about it, but Peter Parker, when he finally starts wearing the black suit, it brings out his evil side, you know? And they have so much fun with that. With Sam Raimi, you can tell his sense of humor is coming right out, because what happens is he starts combing his hair down, like bangs in his eyes, and they do like the emo Peter Parker.
Emo, yeah.
And I thought it was so funny. But apparently I keep reading people like, that was so dumb. But I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. I was laughing my ass off. Where all of a sudden he's a jerk. I mean, remember in Superman 3 when Superman becomes a jerk and he, you know, straightens the Leaning Tower?
So, it's tongue-in-cheek, and it's meant to be tongue-in-cheek.
And all three Spider-Man films have had that sense of humor. Remember when they're doing the raindrops keep falling on my head sequence and all that?
Yeah.
I mean, they have fun with it, and I think it's cool how they do that while telling also a story that can be very serious at the same time.
Well, look at all of Sam Raimi's films. The comedy involved is always tongue-in-cheek.
First of all,
it's not just out there.
When you think Sam Raimi, also you got to go back to Three Stooges, because the guy, his favorite thing he's always said isn't horror movies, it was the Three Stooges. And if you look at Evil Dead 2, that is the Three Stooges right there.
Yeah, that's why him and Bruce Campbell work so well together.
Oh, and I'm not going to spoil it for you guys, but Bruce Campbell's part in this is so funny. It's so good. I love it. And when he shows up, you can't help but start giggling, like, oh, it's Bruce, you know, and that whole scene. And I got to say that just the relationships of the characters and the action sequences I'm going to say the action sequences, Bill, are so ambitious. It's obvious they tried to outdo the other Spider-Man action scenes, right?
Yeah, I've heard that about it.
Some people might say it was a miss, like, oh, some parts look fake. But it's so ambitious, you got to hand it to them. They are trying to blow you away. They're not just paint by numbers kind of thing. I mean, I was really pleased with it. And the movie, right now, I got to tell you, it's long. It's like, it's over 2 hours. As long as you know that, when I
don't think it matters if it's good.
Yeah, when a Spider-Man movie comes out, I know I'm getting story. And I'm getting some depth there, some density in the story. Are you going to get that when you go see the new Fantastic Four?
No.
Friggin' fast food McMovie, like Ghost Rider?
It has everything to do with the quality of the filmmaker.
Right. I was very pleased with this, and I loved it, and I can't wait to see it again, own it on DVD and all that. I mean, all I can say, I'm sad that some people are so jaded and stuff. I would say cynical. A lot of people are like, I don't know, man. This is probably going to suck. How could they have three movies that are good? Going in there with that mentality, how are you going to enjoy anything, right?
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe it is too long, whatever.
Hating it already, you're going to come out hating it even more.
And I was indifferent to it. It's like, hey, I'm going to go see it when it comes out, and that's all I feel about it. But there's people who are crazy about, have you even seen this, Bill? There was a... somebody leaked pictures of the Joker from the next Batman, of Heath Ledger as the Joker, and then it turned out to be a big hoax. But everyone's online like, oh, I gotta see these Joker pictures. It's like, who cares? I can wait.
Yeah, does it really matter?
Luckily, I did not have the internet back when I was in high school, because I don't think the internet existed yet, but I would have been insane, like, oh, some spoilers.
Yeah, well, I think what existed are local dial-up bulletin boards, not the internet.
Yeah, they had the dial-up bulletin boards. But I'm going to say I love Spider-Man 3. Big shocker. Sorry, guys. if I had a problem with anything, I'm going to say it was the fact that we got there an hour early and it was so packed we didn't get to sit in our favorite spot. The seats were taken. The place was sold out. It was friggin'...
an hour early, was sold out?
They had four theaters showing Spider-Man. There was lines of people everywhere. We got there an hour early and we were like, what? You know, there was a whole separate line that we couldn't even get in because it was so long. They had to form a second line, and we had to get in that one. I was like, oh, crap, we're not getting decent seats.
Bonkers!
Bill, I'm curious what you think of Spider-Man 3. I say this to all these people who are saying, it wasn't that good. When it's on DVD and you watch Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 back-to-back, I do not see a drop-off in quality at all. I really don't, and I'm being honest. And there's
I don't think that Sam Raimi would, you know,
there's a lot of care they put into it. And another thing, there's a Stan Lee cameo in this, and I think it's the most awesome Stan Lee cameo there's been in any of the superhero movies he's been a cameo in.
Well, it's about time, because he's really just wallpaper in everything.
Yeah,
so
he's always
far.
Like the mailman or the bus driver.
Yeah, he was the mailman in Fantastic Four.
My favorite is isn't he a security guard in The Hulk with Lou Ferrigno, and they're walking out of the building?
Yes.
That's my favorite. One day we're going to do it.
Was he the bus driver? Oh, Heroes. I'm thinking of Heroes, where he was a bus driver.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Stan Lee should have took a shiv onto the set of Fantastic Four and gutted the director.
Hey, we saw, okay, I want to tell you this. You know, before you go to the movies and there's like, blah, 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 everyone's talking, it's loud, they're showing the trailers or whatever. They showed a trailer to the new Adam Sandler film that he made with the guy from The King of Queens.
Oh my God, Jessica Biel's ass in that trailer.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. What is the movie called?
Chuck and Larry or something? I don't know.
Yeah, something with Chuck and Larry. Everyone's talking. There's a scene where they introduce Jessica Biel and she bends over in her like tight skirt. I swear to God, the entire place went silent.
She's got a great body.
You can hear a pin drop.
Quite possibly the most incredible ass I've ever seen.
I think it was men and women. Everyone was like, whoa, look at that ass. Forget about our conversation
It's whenever she's all wet and she turns around and she's changing clothes in her underwear.
Right.
And she turns around and her ass just like jiggles, but it stops almost immediately.
You know what's funny is I saw an interview with her. There's a show called Higher Definition where they interview the guy.
Robert Wolonsky.
Yeah, Robert Wolonsky interviews. And he was interviewing people for Blade 3, which we all loved, right? We all loved that Apple iPod commercial.
Oh, yeah.
So she was talking about how she was offered it. And she was like, really, Blade 3? I don't know if I want to do this. But I do love working out, and I could get paid to work out, and I had a lot of fun getting in shape for it. And
I love working out.
Her explanation for doing the film is she got paid to work out. It's no wonder the movie sucked. People were trying to figure out why could you set it in the Caribbean, maybe the Bahamas? I'm in, you know.
Well, I do love my iPod.
Yeah. You're saying that I'll get free downloads from iTunes. Okay, I'll do it. Now, Bill, I'm going to give Spider-Man 3 no rating. I'm going to just say this. I loved it as much as Spider-Man 2, and it had pathos.
And Porthos?
It had D'Artagnan and Gravitas.
Oh, Gravitas. Well, then I'm there.
They killed the Giggler!
The Giggler lives on.
The Giggler, man.
Oh, by the way, Bill, before I go on, I got to tell you that I saw the trailer to Hairspray.
Oh, my God.
And
Doesn't it look disturbing?
John Travolta plays the divine role, the role that was played by divine. I'm not saying he plays a divine role.
Plays a divine role.
He plays the mother, this big rotund woman.
Yeah.
And when I realized it was John Travolta, I threw up in my mouth. I swear to God.
Well, also, the makeup they use just looks so bad.
It's creepy as hell.
Yeah, and I don't know. The movie just looks so creepy. Like,
why did they remake this?
Spray was goofy creepy, but this is just flat out creepy.
Yeah. I mean, the photography looks neat, I guess.
Yeah, if that's the best thing you can say about it.
And I saw the trailer to the new Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. And Jessica Alba looks weird in that. They gave her blue eyes and gave her blonde hair, and she just looks weird.
It's like you said the other day, I am so burnt out on her, I really don't even think she's that hot anymore.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's almost, you could say the same thing about Jessica Biel. She's not a good actress.
No, not at all.
Neither one of them.
You know what? I'm really not attracted to Jessica Biel at all. She doesn't have that look I like or anything, but you have to compliment on
how you have to hand it to her. She's got an incredible ass that could crack walnuts.
Oh, that sucker could crack multiple walnuts in one pass.
She could, you know, open a beer can with that thing, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means.
She could crack the beer can, then do that thing they do in Beer Fest where you pop the top and
that's your talent. Really?
All right, sorry.
No.
That is talent. All right, guys, let's get into what's on our TiVos.
They killed the Giggler!
Oh, no. They killed the Giggler.
Yes, but he lives on.
Poor Giggler. Now, for all of you Lindsay Lohan fans, as you know, she was
Are
in...
there any?
Speaking of, wait, I gotta say this. The other day, before I had my flight, I was getting ready, and there was a Lindsay Lohan movie on HBO in high def called Just My Luck, and it was quite possibly one of the worst, most predictable things I've ever seen.
It's all like, her movies.
Beginning, it's her and her two friends in their pajamas.
Of course.
Do they dance?
Oh my God. It was like an instant erection. It was so like that
Bill,
girl's
oxygen built. Gives you an erection.
Well, only if it's tinted with female pheromones. But it was just really hot. So other than that.
Oh, Billy.
Hey, you know, don't make fun of me until you see this, Jason. You know,
just the erection.
I'm a historian of ass.
If you see Just My Luck on HBO, TiVo that sucker, and just watch the opening.
Okay,
I'll
do
it. You don't
need
to see any of the rest of it, just the opening.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It is indeed, Data.
Yes, it is. Well, here's the thing. Lindsay Lohan, she went to rehab for being an alcoholic, right? She was drinking all the time, partying. She was missing call times on her sets of her
something to drink
big hit movies and stuff. So she goes on Ellen, who's a lesbian, by the way, and she talks about...
If you don't know that, you'll find out on each and every show.
Well, she turns 21 this week, and she, well, the way she's talking to Ellen doesn't sound like somebody who's just gotten out of rehab.
You're going to be 21, and that's a huge birthday. What are you going to do?
I'm going to milk it because it's a big birthday, and it's, I think it's been a long time coming for some of my friends that have clubs out in L.A.
Uh-huh.
They don't have to worry about getting into trouble.
Right.
Because I'm underage.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go. I think I'm doing a party in Vegas, which makes sense because I've never been able to go out there.
Screw everything that moves.
I really just haven't gambled there. I mean, I've like hung out with friends that have been there, but
well, they don't let you in, right?
Yeah, no. It's, I mean, it's completely illegal.
Right. So now you can finally go and gamble.
Yeah.
And do you want to? Do you want to gamble?
No.
Do you like to gamble?
No.
Do you play poker?
Not really.
No.
Gee, I wonder what she's going there for then.
I'm going to get sloppy drunk.
I'm going to join GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Awesome.
I'm going to get sloppy drunk and f*** the Giggler.
Oh, I wish she could, but I don't know if you knew this, Bill.
They killed the Giggler!
No!
Yeah, no business doing that.
Now, what does she mean when she says this?
I'm going to milk it.
Probably going to give some guy a hand job and then, well, milk it.
I'm going to milk it.
Is she talking about the prostate?
Yes. Yeah, she is. She's going to milk the prostate.
I'm going to milk it.
Bonkers! That's totally bonkers.
How stupid is she is, she'll probably try to milk her own prostate.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
Cough up a lung while you're at it. I think you have consumption.
Consumption, what your junk?
No, that's not it.
I know.
America's Top Model is back, and I love it. And this chick gets disqualified, and she's very angry, and you just can't console people like this. It reminds me of Vanessa. Let's check it out.
Yeah. It sucks because it's not my fault. It's his, because I asked him to meet me over there. I can be upset right now, but I'm gonna get pissed off.
When Priscilla comes in to announce who won the challenge, Brittany is cursing and just going off, and you can actually see the expression on Priscilla's face, like, what's that out there? Yapping at the mouth.
He's not driving slow. I asked him to meet me there, and it took me 2 minutes to run back, and I would have made it.
Don't be, please, don't
stop telling me not to be upset. I can be upset if I want to.
I'm going to punch your ass through your face.
I assume that Brittany knows that she's been disqualified, that she hasn't come into the room.
Very serious.
You have been disqualified.
Do you think
you were not allowed to be a model?
Do you think she deserves to have her face punched through her ass?
Her ass punched through her face.
I think so. Through her ass.
Bitch, I will punch your ass in your face.
Exactly. Thank
ass
you.
Through the face.
I love the fact that someone tries to console her and she goes, "I'm allowed to be upset if I want to." Yeah.
You want, you know, these shows aren't a show without the internal struggle, the outsider, the person who everyone hates. It's just these shows are so predictable and sad.
Well, that's something. That's why something like Celebrity Fit Club is refreshing, Bill.
Because it's not stilted at all.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they have someone like DeBrat. Marsha from the Brady Bunch. Tiffany.
She has incredible skill. I was wondering where she was.
Well, first of all, Dustin Diamond, does he even look fat to you guys? Or did he let himself go or something?
I don't even look at him. I try not to.
You mean washed up?
Yes, washed up.
Okay, yeah, then, yeah, he's fat.
Well,
definitely.
I was like, who are the celebrities on here? I'm going to go look it up, and I saw this. Dustin Diamond is one of the most recognizable faces in show business today.
What?
I wouldn't argue with that.
At the age of 8, he was discovered at a department store imitating a mannequin.
That is a drop where you just went, da-da-da-da.
I know. While in the 5th grade, he auditioned for and was selected out of more than 5,000 hopefuls for the role of Samuel Screech Powers in the television series Good Morning, Miss Bliss. His character was so popular, it was carried over to NBC's television series Saved by the Bell, which ran for over 10 seasons, making him a multi-zillionaire. Saved by the Bell is still seen as syndication 16 times per week in 105 countries. So he's not just a celebrity here, he's a celebrity in 104 India. Other countries.
Phuket, with
television, movies, and screenwriting, it's hard to believe he also tours the country as a stand-up comedian, selling out colleges and comedy clubs across the country.
Selling out.
Dustin is also an accomplished musician and songwriter. He's the bass player in a band called Salty the Pocket Knife, which just finished recording its debut album.
They're terrific. I have some of their demos. Terrific stuff.
Salty the Pocket Knife.
Pocket Knife. In fact, I kind of prefer the Swiss Army Knife. They're kind of the opposite.
Here's the funny thing, Bill. It says that his band just finished recording their debut album. The record was released nationally on October 21st, 2003. How did they just do it, release it in 2003? No one's heard of it. Dustin is no stranger to the big screen either. He's appeared in more than 18 feature films, including Maid, which earned him a nomination for Best Cameo at the 2002 MTV. It's funny how they just reach into everything for his credits.
Azzies.
They try to find anything to put on his bio.
That is really sad.
So you would think that he's a really nice guy and he's getting along with all of his co-hosts. Let's check it out. And what is the show? They're trying to lose weight or something?
Celebrity Fit Club?
They're just trying to get in shape? Yeah.
Yeah, they basically, it's the Biggest Loser for celebrities. Like, they have the weigh-in
for
and all that.
Pseudo-celebrities.
I got you. Let's check it out.
F-less.
Are you here to lose weight, though, and get fit?
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
I'm falling asleep because this... If you're talking about somebody thinking asinine, I believe you're thinking asinine because ain't nobody over here thinking asinine. We're here to lose weight.
We've already established that Kim is a loser on another show. And I think she's going to have a problem losing weight because she is a big girl. And she will always be a big girl. If Kimberly drowned, I wouldn't lose any sleep tonight. People think that way about people all the time. She just happens to be that for me. Brad is gangsta. I'm gangsta. Cletus can't even go into a store and shop. These people are in the head.
Jesus, dropping F-bombs left and right, man.
Well, you know, sometimes to get your point across, you need to use the F-word multiple times. You know,
it'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Exactly. Was she like, ass-o-mine, what you talking about my ass?
My ass is fine. It's big and chunky.
Exactly. Jesus.
Cushion for the pushing.
Well, you guys, check that out, Celebrity Fit Club. Let's go ahead and...
Thanks.
Let's get into Heroes, which was 5 years in the future.
Yes, this week was the gimmick episode.
And I'm going to say... Bill, would you call it ambitious?
I would call it ambitious yet lazy.
I mean, there were some futures that I thought were pretty cool. For instance, Peter, he's a badass. He's got the scar on his face. And
he's not badass. He becomes the ultimate emo kid. Oh, he just has a badass scar, so he's even more emo.
Well, he's got all these powers and stuff, which is really cool. But let's go ahead and get right to the fact that are we sick of Heroes teasing us when it comes to the action?
Well, that's the problem. They're not teasing us. They just don't know how to shoot action. The scene in the future where Peter and Hero, you know, say, should we stop time? They say, no, I need a good fight.
He goes like, it's been a while since I had a good fight. And you're like, oh, hell yeah, rubbing your hands together. It's just about to be some kung fu ass whipping.
We're going to see something like a mix of Equilibrium meets The Matrix, you know, and we saw nothing. We saw one guy fly through the hallway and slice one guy.
Yeah, we just wanted an action scene, a choreographed
action
scene.
Give us something, please.
And even there's a great scene where the whole thing, we turn out that Nathan's the president, but it turns out it's actually Siler because he's killed the most annoying character on the show, Candace, which I hope still happens, by the way. I thought that was an awesome reveal that he's Siler. I was thinking he was Siler because we talked about before when he painted the painting. I was like, that's him as the president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I knew that it was his point of view, but I didn't see that coming.
And when he does, I thought that was really cool. That gave me a cool, like, what'd you call, butterfly in my stomach. Like, oh, that was cool the way they revealed.
Yeah, that was the best scene of the show whenever he comes to the mansion and starts talking about Candace. The moment he said you know, things changed whenever he met a girl named Candace. I was like, oh, that's Siler.
Yeah, and I love how he stops her, and then all of a sudden you see the blood go down her face. She's like, Siler. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. And one
that
thing,
was very cool.
A show is as good as its bad guy, and I think Siler's a great bad guy.
Well, that's because he's a fun bad guy.
Yeah, he makes you, like you and I talked about, he's the one guy who uses his powers all the time, like every episode.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that's another problem I had with the Peter of the Future. You know, if this guy, you know, this sulking emo version of Peter, if you had all these powers, why would you not be out helping people recover from what happened? Yeah, I know that, you know, you're now considered a terrorist, but, you know, go do good.
We find out that it actually was him that was the bomb, and he killed all those people like Micah and DL.
Yeah, I think maybe that's where his scar came from, like the energy exuding through his face or something.
Yeah, and, well, I think that's why he feels bad. He's so emotional that he killed all these people, and now he's hanging out with Nikki, who still has in the future, 5 years in the future, she still has those damn hoop earrings.
Yeah, and she still has an incredible ass.
And she's a stripper. And
yeah, I would like a show, you know, that portrays stripper to actually have stripping.
Yeah, but I mean, they can't show it. But one thing they show you, there's this little bit where she goes, how are the receipts tonight? He goes, pretty good. That shows you she owns the joint.
Yep.
She owns the strip club. But, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it, but I see where you're coming from, Bill, that we want some action here. I wanted to see Hero whip some ass, because if you're going to do the time stoppage thing, couldn't they have stopped time in the lobby, gone up there, gotten Hero, left, and that would have been it?
Yeah, well, they couldn't, they couldn't do that. Writing 101, they need a battle. But,
because
you know.
If Peter is going to say something like, you know, Hero goes, should we stop time? And he goes, no, I haven't had a good fight in a while. Show us a fight. Show
us give us an awesome, like, 2-minute-long fight sequence.
Even Smallville shows, I mean, they're not great action sequences, but at least they show.
Yeah, but at least they put money aside to do, like, a bullet time sequence or something, as overused as it is.
My problem with Smallville is they always show Clark grab someone and throw them up to the upper level of the barn, like, every episode. Yeah.
Or that the shockwave stuff is something
I don't want
Smallville.
Now I don't want that on Heroes, because I love Heroes so much. The part where Peter goes through the wall, he goes, pushes the guy, then he freezes time. Just that little quick editing sequence of events, that was really cool. So you want to see something badass like that later. They're building up, and at the very end, Siler, he's the president, and he gives this speech to all these people, and he takes off and flies. He arrives, and it's finally him and Peter are going to beat some ass. They both their hands light up. I thought that was really cool. And then
they cut away. It's like,
they cut away. They keep teasing us. Stop teasing.
I'll tell you what. The finale better be amazing.
I think.
Because it just pisses me off. They really need to find. They've got the writers. They've got comic book geek writers that love to pull elements from a variety of different books.
And you know another thing,
don't have the direction.
Right. There's a great. Well, I'm not going to say direction. I'm going to say fight choreography.
The direction directly relates to the fight choreography. It looks great.
It's shot really well. I think they need to stage action sequences. Well, they got to give
maybe
us one eventually.
Maybe they're saving up. I don't know. Well, also, I was really disappointed because, you know, Greg Grunberg went on and on about how dark and how great this was going to be, and I didn't think it was very dark.
I thought the future sucked.
Well, the future sucks, but it wasn't like, you know, I don't know. It just didn't seem apocalyptic.
What about the part where HRG sees that he shot Hannah in the head and he's about to sever their deal and Mac Partman shoots him? Thought that was a good little.
Well, yeah,
there.
that was good. That was good.
I like the fact.
Yeah, I just felt underwhelmed. I guess I shouldn't say I didn't like it. I shouldn't say it wasn't too dark enough. I was very underwhelmed.
Yeah, you wanted more. I can understand that. I really liked what they did. How many other shows do something like this? They did the. What was it, 6 months ago, and now they're doing the 5 years in the future?
Yeah, well, you know what? They don't. No, shows don't do that. They, you know, they do gimmicks, but they don't know how to properly use the gimmick.
Such as, like, a noir episode of Heroes?
Noir. Quite possibly the biggest waste of time ever.
Here's my biggest fear, though. Hero, realizes now it's him who has to kill Siler. And it looks like he's going to go back in time to when Siler even knew he had powers and kill him then. Do you think they'll do that? Because if they do, that's a huge disappointment, isn't it? Wouldn't you rather see Siler beat in a battle, in a fight?
I think he will. I think there will be a battle, and Peter will be there, and Hero will be there, and I think Peter will get in the fight, and then Hero will take advantage of the moment and kill Siler. I don't think they're going to do the whole time thing, because Hero hasn't quite gotten a grasp on that yet.
Because, I mean, that's an interesting dilemma, though, because how many people are like, if you could go back in time and kill Hitler before he came to power, would you do it? That's interesting.
Those are the sort of questions, those are those metaphysical questions that just you could go on for hours about. Me, the simple answer is no, because what happened in the past shapes who we are now.
Right. So many things wouldn't have happened because that Siler put in motion.
Yeah.
And
I think the things that happened with Siler need to happen.
Yeah, you would never even know to save the cheerleader. Matt Parkman never would have met the FBI chick on her case. Peter never would have met Claire. All this stuff never would have happened. So if he went back and did that, say he does do that, and season two starts with a reset where these people don't know each other, how much would it piss off viewers?
Well, it would completely negate the whole reason for... Oh, my God.
The season would be...
No, I couldn't say it. I had to stop myself. I'm not saying the reason for the season. It would just negate the reason we watched the show. It would make all these characters worthless.
Right, it
so
would.
So they couldn't do that. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Hero's I'm just really excited to see what they do.
Right.
You know, there's only, two episodes left?
One thing is are you guys always left wanting more when the show's over?
Yes. Yeah. On Dancing with the Stars this week, the 90210 crew, Jason Priestley, Jenny Garth, and a really frightening-looking Tori Spelling were on.
Awesome!
To give Ian Ziering a boost of confidence.
Well, that's cool. How do you do?
Horribly.
You'll be up in everybody's business!
He's very stiff. His upper body is very stiff.
You know what's weird is he has like white hair, but he has this weird looking paint on stubble or something.
Yeah. Everybody on Dancing with the Stars looks bizarre because they use that bronzer that they airbrush onto people.
The creepiest looking person who's ever been on that show is Joey Lawrence and his bald head.
Well, he had that bald head and it was just like, dude.
Is that next week or this week where he plays like a killer on CSI New York?
Awesome. Oh, he does?
Yes.
Awesome. I killed someone.
Okay, guys. I still haven't watched 24 yet this week. It's the first time I've actually not been caught up.
I mean, the show has gotten to the point where we actually don't care.
No.
Well, I mean, congratulations, writers. Let me give you a round of applause here.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. But Veronica Mars is back, and I was glad to see Veronica back.
I was glad to see Veronica back, but I'm sad the way they're treating the show. I'm really disappointed.
Have you heard this?
They really screwed it up this season.
Now, Gilmore Girls has been canceled, Bill, and Veronica may be canceled. We don't know yet.
Well, I hope they give Veronica a chance to... maybe become more adult because the CW really needs a more adult-oriented show.
Right. Well, have you heard what Rob Thomas, the creator of the show, he said he's going to pitch to the CW 5 years in the future. Hey, wait a second. Stole it from Heroes. And
Hero will be there.
Veronica is in the FBI Academy in the FBI. I don't know.
I think she will probably just be like a rookie in the FBI, which I think would be terrific. You know,
I would totally watch that.
There's so much more you could do with that.
Well, I mean, Veronica Mars, I'm glad it's back, but also Smallville. They had an incredible episode this week, Bill, where
Smallville's just pissing me off.
First of all, I thought that Jimmy Olsen was off the show, and didn't him and Chloe break up, but they're back together, I guess?
It doesn't even matter, because they're doing this ridiculous noir shit that has absolutely nothing to do with the current storyline of the show.
Right. They had Lois Lane as a lounge singer, and
who was having an affair with Lex.
Yeah, Lex, and
and they all talked like Humphrey Bogart. And
yeah, and know. Oh, you know what? The Chloe, Allison Mack tried to do the hey, see, the kind of quick repartee voice of in the newsroom. She couldn't pull that off at all.
the Jennifer Jason Leigh and the Hudsucker
proxy, yeah. She couldn't do it. She tried, but hey, yeah, I will say one thing. The show looked gorgeous in black and white.
It did. That high definition black and white always looks very sharp, but really, I just don't understand the reasoning behind doing an episode like this and basically just throwing an episode away that could move the season along.
Does it feel to you like there's no urgency whatsoever to get the story arc of the season going when they do episodes like this?
Story arc. I think they're just completely, I don't know. It's like
the episode where Clark has the love thing for Lois. Those kind of like goofy episodes. I mean, I know this isn't Lost or whatever like that, but or Heroes, but they take a lot of side detours during the season. Yeah. Like even
opposed to like that episode, it's fun to watch because it's so stupid. This episode was just stupid.
Right. Well, the whole episode where Clark is trapped underground with Lex and they kind of talk about the relationship. I guess
that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like they dump all that?
They do.
Yeah,
and then once they dump all of it out, they never go back to it again.
Right, and another thing is we forgot to even mention that Hilo is going to be on the next episode.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed he's the
secret project.
Yes, the secret project guy.
And
I noticed whenever they at the end of that episode, I was like, "Hey, isn't that the Hilo dude?
Does he have all the powers of all of the 33.1 people or something?"
Oh God, who the hell knows? That'll be like the nuclear man for this season.
All I'm gonna say, Bill, is I'm guessing that him and Clark duke it out, and more than once they'll pick each other up and throw each other.
See, now that's I'm looking forward to.
Hopefully they'll do it in a lobby with lots of security
and
guards.
If they do it in a lobby and they do it in bullet time, it's even better.
Awesome.
And they have to have the shock waves that come out.
I think
it'd
be cool if Hilo actually gasses Clark. He cuts off the oxygen in his room, and that's how. He
awesome!
Kills him.
That would be great.
I'm gangsta.
Are you gangsta?
Me? Yeah, I am actually.
All right, let's talk about Lost. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, let's please talk about
Bonkers.
This.
I'm going to say right now, I thought this was the best episode of the season.
It was. By far, it was the absolute best episode.
I completely agree.
It seemed like a Locke episode. And, you know, when I think about acting and stuff, I never even think about Josh Holloway, but I thought he was so good in this episode.
What angers me about this episode, though, is it took so long to get to. This. Uh-huh. If every episode this season...
I called it, dang it. I knew that was going to be freaking really Sawyer, the real Sawyer. I said that a long time ago.
Well, I think everyone did, Vanessa.
That was pretty obvious, actually.
Well, I got to say that I think when the more you're riveted in the show, the more the commercials stand out where like, oh! And even with TiVo, when you're fast-forwarding it, you're just so into it, it drives you nuts how many commercials there are.
Yeah, it does.
And the whole thing was Ben has... Locke's dad there, who's a tremendous asshole, I might add.
Yeah.
Yes, but he also runs the Double Deuce.
Yes, he does. In,
and he was a paramedic in Emergency. Thank you, Giggler. I can always count on you.
I love the Giggler. He's always there to back us up. Now, here's the thing, that he needs Locke to kill his dad in order to kind of get rid of his inner demons. And
I totally understand. It may sound creepy, but I understand it.
And he even wants him to kill him in front of all the other people, which I thought was a little uneasy. They're all going to watch.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, and he can't do it. And I love...
Well, of course not.
Batman Well comes up to him later, and he's like, he wanted to embarrass you.
No, you didn't just say that.
Batman Well. Anybody who watched The Tick knows what I'm talking about.
Yes. He was great in that. That's one of those shows that totally was underrated and should have went on longer.
It's genius.
I loved the live-action version.
So what's great is he hands him a folder saying, if you can't do it, here's a guy who probably can, and it's Sawyer, so he goes to get Sawyer. I mean, I couldn't do it justice talking about it, but what's interesting how they, you know, over the seasons, season one and two, they have the flashbacks with Locke and with Sawyer, and you see that Sawyer became the person he is because of the con man who conned his mom, and his dad ended up killing his mother and killing himself, so he blames all that, and he kind of became that guy. He lived the same life as this guy just for this moment to kill this guy, and what I think is interesting how they did it is it snuck up on him. He had no friggin' clue it was coming when it did.
And neither did we, really. I mean, just the way they were building it up
right.
in the reveal, it was just so perfectly done.
And they make the guy so evil. Here's the question I want to know is, remember when Echo died and he sees his brother and he says, I'm Yemi, his brother Yemi, who I love that name.
Yemi.
He says, Yemi, I do not ask for forgiveness because I was justified in my actions. What I did what I had to do, and I am not ashamed of that. And then he's promptly killed by the smoke monster.
Promptly, of course.
Is Locke's dad really there, or is that the smoke monster formed into his dad? That's one thing
I'm
curious
about.
Well,
if it was the smoke monster, he wouldn't be able to actually die.
Right. Or later on in the next episode when Locke opens the bag with his dad and smoke flies out, then it's like, whoa!
No, that would be badass.
It's trippy!
But here's
whoa, man!
His dad says, I was driving, a car rear-ended me, and then he was in an ambulance, and they injected him with something, and he woke up here. So he says, I assume I'm in hell.
Yeah, that like had me giddy when they started doing that whole like fan purgatory thing.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
And here's,
because you know, it may not be real, but at least they're like playing with the fans now, like they are actually listening.
Yeah. And how great was the scene where Locke locks Sawyer in the room to kill his dad, basically, and he's just sitting there, and then Rousseau is like, hey, John, what are you doing?
Yeah, that was great.
And he's like,
what I want to know is what the hell she needed the dynamite for.
Yeah, he goes, what are you doing here, Rousseau? And she goes, just getting some dynamite, and picks it up and walks out.
Supermarket, the Black Rock for dynamite.
What is she doing with the dynamite? Here's my prediction, and I might have said this before. Before the season is over, Rousseau will have killed Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, I think Rousseau might take out most of the people because she wants her daughter back.
Right.
So I think her that the reason why she got that dynamite is pivotal to how the season is going to end.
I don't know if you guys have read this, but they are about to announce the ending to Lost, and there will be a definite ending. Have you guys heard this?
Yeah, I have. It's going to end in 2009.
I've heard they're going to kill a main character here pretty soon. A main character. Now, you know, they always make it sound like someone's going to die. It ends up being somebody off in
the
background.
Yeah,
the
prediction is that Jack is going to die at the end of this season. But not
well,
only that,
already, Sawyer.
Well, you know what? I predict that Jack will, only because I think Jack was sent there to kind of beat his demons and, you know.
But Sawyer has beat his demon now. He finally did what
no,
he did.
No, has he? I don't think Sawyer's going to die, and here's why. Because everyone loves that character. Everyone's sick of Jack.
What about Charlie? Everyone hates Charlie.
That is such a bait-and-switch tactic with Charlie. Everyone thinks Charlie, he's not going to die, trust me. He's dating friggin' Evangeline Lilly in real life. You think he wants to leave that?
I don't think he has much choice.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would. At this point, I think they're actually writing him as an irritating character for people to want him to die.
Right.
Doing a good job.
Because they're like, well, it's so annoying. They're like, don't tell Jack. Like, they're keeping the girl Naomi a secret. And I'm like, why are they doing this? This is so annoying.
I would too, because he spent all that time with the others, and now he's spending more time with
you
Juliet.
You know what? I think it's just paranoia. Yeah. Because Juliet, everything I'm seeing so far is she's a good person. She's just in a bad place.
She's
just
doing,
like Jack just wants to go home. She just wants to go
well,
home.
Well, here's the thing. What makes no sense is they've already shown she knows that she can't trust Ben because he never delivers on what he says. He manipulates everyone into doing what he wants them to do. So the more she does and thinks she's ever going to get home, she's got to know she's wrong. She's never going to get home. But she keeps,
you're right. You're absolutely right.
And Locke even gives a tape recorder to Sawyer saying, this is how you'll make them believe that she's a spy with this tape. But at the same time, could she have already told Jack, I have to do this in order to make him think this? I don't know.
The death stuff, like they found the plane, the bodies were there.
Yeah, and it was interesting. You know, they added to that that they sent in little underwater cameras because the plane was submerged.
Yes, James Cameron and his Titanic crew went. And
yeah, raised the oceanic flight. But the thing is, how easily could a company, this billion-dollar company that's controlling things, fake something like that?
But you also have to think about how deep they went into this. Did they extract the bodies? Did they do testing?
Right.
You know, I don't. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's all been faked. Some people still think they're in purgatory, which I don't. These are
no,
some...
absolutely not. This episode totally proved that they are not in purgatory.
It's the same people who think that when they saw the eye patch guy in the camera was an alien.
Oh my God, did you
see that? That was an alien. It's like I saw.
What were a lot of people thinking this week?
That they're in purgatory?
Oh yeah, was that
yeah,
what it was?
Yeah, everyone came back with the purgatory. They are in purgatory. They proved it right there. It's like they didn't prove anything. They're just teasing you.
They didn't prove anything. They laughed at people who thought they were in purgatory. It was like a little tongue-in-cheek prod.
And next week looks so good, though. It's the Ben flashback.
We have been waiting for the Ben flashback since his character was introduced.
I know. I just hope that they tell me what I want. You know what? The show's been on for so long, I don't even know the questions I want answered anymore.
In fact, I might actually have to buy this season on DVD just to watch it. I'll have season 1 and 3. I'll just leave 2 out like it never happened.
But you know what's funny is, you remember back when, I think it was even just in season 2, we're thinking, oh gosh, it's gone downhill. But now, when the farther we get in the episodes, the more it's making sense why they showed those episodes that we thought, oh, what's this for? What is this?
Yeah, it's almost like we say that the last 10 minutes of Lost is always the best part. The last 4, 5, 6 episodes of a season are always the best part of the season.
Well, that's because they have to wrap it up.
Right. Like, we want to know what Locke is going to, what he's going to show him and all that. And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm really pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. I just want to know what happened to the Hanzo people and what all that was about.
If they killed off a certain character, which character do you think would cause ratings to drop if they killed him off?
I don't think ratings would drop. I know you're posing a question, but I couldn't answer that because I don't think it would happen.
I think
their ratings are already low enough.
At this point, I got to tell you that they could kill anybody and I wouldn't be bothered that much.
Yeah, same here, because you know, I think if they kill anybody, it'll be somebody who has served their purpose.
The last person they're going to kill is Sawyer or Hurley.
Yeah.
I think. Those are the two fan favorites right there.
You know what? I really wouldn't mind if they killed Hurley. Because we've had Hurley's story, and quite frankly, Hurley is just there for, moving the plot along or saying whoa or dude or,
right.
You know, there's really no depth to his character other than he went crazy, he won the lottery. Everyone died.
And his dad is
he was
cheap.
Used.
Did they
and that's
ever
it.
Say what made him go crazy?
No, I think maybe he was just lazy.
That's for
he had
season
mono.
Three. Season 3, we will know what he was doing there.
Hurley had mono and he checked into the mental
and
institution.
And another thing, if they fake the flight where everyone died, how are Michael and Walt getting back to civilization and explaining anything? Do you think?
Oh, this is what I was just read somewhere that. Harold Perrineau, he is not going to go on Lost again. They offered him all this money. He says, no, I don't want to do it. So you'll not see Michael again.
Why would he do that?
Because he's an idiot. He wants to do a different show instead. I can't remember
the
name.
I read about him doing another show, but I figured he would at least come back for some kind of explanation. But
yeah, that's, you know what, some actors are just dumb. He's dumb.
David Caruso?
Like Eve?
Maybe he wants to do Oz.
I heard that Eve on Heroes, the reason they killed her off is because she had a contract dispute or money dispute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's so weird when people do that, but I guess, you know, they see dollar signs in their eye. But I believe Harold Perrineau, I don't know if it's money, because if they offered him a lot of money, he turned it down. It might be because of, I don't want to go back to the island and do all that crap again or whatever. Maybe he just wanted to explore other things. I don't
know. He just wants to get out of Hawaii because, you know, who would want to spend a lot of time in Hawaii?
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't understand that, but hey, he's in 28 days later, so maybe.
28 weeks later.
Yeah, 28 weeks later. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you keep saying 28 days later.
I know. It's just whatever. So before we move on to the news, I'll briefly mention that Entourage last week was the worst episode of Entourage there's ever been.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Artie Lang was painful. That was just possibly the worst acting I've seen.
I had no problem with Artie. I'm talking about the Ultimate Fighting Championship storyline.
Oh, that was horrible.
That's what I was talking about. Artie was
the
fine.
The whole gotcha Pauly Shore thing was just so bad.
And the whole time, you know, they're playing an ultimate joke on drama. So when they finally reveal it at the end with the Chuck Liddell thing, it's not a surprise at all. And it was just lame.
And not only was it not a surprise, it was just lame. It was stupid.
It just felt like they were friends with Chuck Liddell and they wanted to put him in an episode. And
well, yeah, you know what? They do this because it's Entourage. It has to be kind of Hollywoodish, and
right, but
frankly, I don't think anybody in Hollywood would really want to appear on the episode.
Before the episode, I had no idea who Chuck Liddell is, and I'm sad that I now know.
Yeah, poor you.
And I thought Artie was fine. And the only thing, my only complaint is this part was so quick, it almost seemed like, what was the point of that?
It really kind of was. The only point of it was to get Ari and his wife back into some sort of sexual thing.
And it also showed that Ari is a jealous bastard when it comes to his friends having more than him.
Yeah, and, you know, that's typical of Ari.
Hopefully they'll bring Artie back, because I had no problem with him. And Leslie Bibb, she's not...
Oh my gosh, Leslie Bibb is just beautiful. I really... She's a beautiful girl.
And the whole side thing here is, of course, now Vince is screwing around with his agent, played by the lovely Carla Gugino.
Which I was really disappointed with, because it's Entourage, and there should be titties in Entourage. And they had the prime opportunity there with Carla Gugino in that bathtub.
Yeah, well, you know, the beginning of the episode when they showed that Pauly Shore, and he goes, what is he doing talking to Pauly Shore? He knows I hate Pauly Shore. And I thought that was funny, because remember the whole thing where he hates Ralph Macchio?
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. It was just, but they built it up where Pauly was coming back. Hey, wait a second. Pauly Shore, Carla Gugino, they were in The Son-in-Law together.
Oh, hey,
Six
there's a
Degrees
connection.
Of The Son-in-Law. Awesome. Do you think she even said hi to him when he was on the set?
No. Because she probably hated him during that entire shoot.
Let's talk about Sopranos real fast. And we'll talk about more about it next week. But the season's ending and I'm really sad.
Yeah, I'm sad. Well, the season, the entire series is ending.
Yeah, series. That's what I meant.
It was good. It was good.
Yes, it was. Let's do the news!
Ooh.
I'm going to milk it.
All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
All right, in San Jose, California, a virgin... What?
All right, in San Jose,
California. I'm trying. A version of the General Lee, a 1969 Dodge Charger made famous in the television show The Dukes of Hazzard, fetched a winning bid of nearly $10 million Friday in an online auction.
whoever bidded that up is never going to pay.
Yeah, I know. If the bidder comes through with the cash or financing for the $9,900,500 price, the car will be the most expensive item ever sold on eBay.
I'm a gangsta.
Actor John Schneider, who's also gangsta, played the blonde heartthrob. I love that.
But nor is he's a gang. He's not gangster, and that car is certainly not gangster because it would get you killed if you ever went into the hood. General Lee, that Confederate flag.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
John Schneider, who played the blonde heartthrob Bo Duke in the show, sold the car, which was not featured in the original show, but carries the signatures of the entire cast. Schneider, 47, said Friday that he's expected bidding for the orange coupe, which has the 01 on the doors and is emblazoned with a Confederate flag, to go for about $3 million at most.
Huh?
Hell, I would pay $3 million alone just for Tom Wopat's signature.
Wait, the car wasn't even on the show. They just signed it. How is that worth anything?
No, it's a replica.
It's a replica.
What kind of lame crap is that?
Well, you know how many they had on the show that they went through on the show?
Yeah, if they had so many, then put one of them that was in the show in the
auction. They're all destroyed.
Shut up, Giggler. Jesus.
He said, in my wildest dream, two people would get into a bidding war at about $2.5 million, and I would have been delighted with that.
I would only pay that much for like a light cycle or something like that from Tron.
Yeah.
All the living original cast members and crew from the show, which starred in 1979, signed their autographs under the hood of the car.
Where you can't even see it?
Well, you know, yeah, I guess so.
Cooter signed it
to think otherwise.
Well, you know, Boss Hogg didn't. It was also featured in the movie Dukes Go to Hollywood.
They should have put Boss Hogg's skeleton in the trunk.
That would be awesome.
And Schneider raced it in the Silver State Classic Challenge in Nevada. The actor said he would use the money to help produce a sequel to his 2006 movie Collier and Company.
Huh?
Yeah,
that no one saw to begin with.
Exactly. I think I'll go
is
and
that Oliver and Company
first.
Sequel?
Oliver and Company.
He says, I think I'll go and vacation first and then make the movie.
People think that way about people all the time.
He said, who after Dukes acted on Broadway and had roles on shows including Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and Smallville.
Yeah, it's about time they mentioned Smallville. It's like he's had a steady gig for years.
emails to the winning bidder. The winning bidder, whose screen name is Fish Basher 1.
Oh, that is not getting paid.
I know. The highest eBay record before this was for a private jet, which went for $4.9 million. So, yeah, we'll see if that person actually pays up on it.
That's a great thing.
Exactly. It's hard out there for a celebrity. Just ask Alec Baldwin and David Hasselhoff. Two more examples of famous guys caught doing really, really embarrassing things.
Vanessa, your voice is just cracking me up. I'm sorry.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
Vanessa, this story sounds familiar.
Yes. Both actors, divorced dads of a certain age, were publicly humiliated by leaked tapes of them acting badly.
Where she grabbed her
wives.
Celebrities whose reputations can be destroyed in an instant on YouTube seem to be pawns in the multimedia revolution that chews up this...
You sick bastard!
Their careers are not ruined. First of all, David Hasselhoff is going to return on America's Got Talent.
You know what? I don't think that his career is not ruined in that people saw this and went, wow, that poor guy.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's beaten him. You know, if anything, this can improve his career.
He responded very well to it. I have to give him credit. Because he didn't hear anything like that. He was pretty much saying, I thank God for the love and concern of my daughters. The tape was never meant to become public, but it got individuals who were
you
not
know, and also,
mentioned.
It's a free Wendy's commercial. He should get paid.
Oh, I know.
When Wendy's I watched that video, I was
what?
Craving
when you're sloppy
Wendy's.
Drunk?
Well, you can see that this is happening a lot lately with a celebrity foot and mouth disorder, like Don Imus, for instance, or Michael Richards.
Oh, Christ. Don Imus has had his foot in his mouth for 50 years.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I have an opinion.
Oh, my God.
Well, at the end of the day, I think all of the shot of this is that people need to learn you can't trust anybody. If you're going to do any sort of rant on the email or on the telephone or video, whatever, make sure that it's somebody you trust. Don't, I mean, because that's what they're pretty much talking about, how these celebrities don't think about
Vanessa,
what they're
doing.
Someone
called you nappy-headed hoe, how upset would you be?
I would laugh. I wouldn't get
would
mad.
You say, what century are you living in?
Yeah.
What is this, the late 70s?
Shut up. Just shut up.
All right, in South Africa, a gang of armed robbers forced a man to strip naked and glued him to his exercise bike and sealed his lips with more glue while they ransacked his house.
Those guys had a sense of humor, didn't they?
Oh, man. Oh, shit. That had to hurt.
Obis von Deventer, 50, was...
Wait, what was his name?
Cobus van Deventer. He was 50 years old, was left stuck to the bike with super strong glue for 3 hours until he was rescued by his girlfriend.
Did they glue him to, like, a steel beam? And then,
no.
Like, make him hang on to his...
No, with a hard hat. Van Deventer was carjacked Wednesday while driving in Johannesburg, northern suburbs. His assailants, dressed in suits and armed with handguns and an automatic assault rifle, forced their way into Van Deventer's car and made the property developer drive to his own home. The victim was then forced to strip, after which he was super glued to the seat of an exercise bike. His hands were super glued as were his feet, and then his mouth super glued shut. Stoko said the robbers ransacked his house and safe while helping themselves to Shivaz Regal and the like. South Africa does have one of the highest crime rates in the world.
Involving exercise bikes in the world, I heard.
Yeah,
yes, and glue.
And glue, yeah. 50 people get killed every day in South Africa.
Holy crap, that's a bad statistic.
You know, Nelson Mandela went to jail all those years just to fight house ransackings and ball gluings.
Giggler, that's
thank
not
you,
funny.
Giggler.
That was really... Yeah.
No,
they killed
great.
The Giggler!
Take my wife, please. In Brazil, the government has ordered an internet auction site to remove an advertisement in which a Brazilian man offered to sell his wife for about $50. The Secretariat
What'd she look
of
like?
They don't have a picture.
Probably not too good.
The Secretariat of Public Policies for Women announced late Friday it had Livre, partially owned by eBay Inc., to remove the ad and warned it was violating a law banning the offer or sale of human organs, people, blood, bones, or skin.
I can't believe I get paid for this.
I hear if you win the auction, you get a free roast beef sandwich.
Nice. I'd prefer Wendy's, though.
Eaten by David Hasselhoff.
Classic single.
It was posted by a man who gave his name as Brino and said, "I sell my wife for reasons I prefer to keep short. I really need the money."
I find that so hard to believe.
He described his wife physically and listed her qualities as a homemaker and a companion.
He needs the money. I love it.
I know. He reportedly said she was 35 and worth, obviously, only $50 in gold.
How much was he asking
for? Only
off one cougar.
Selling her for $50. $50.
Is that what the South Africans in Lethal Weapon 2 had, the Krugerrands? Or...
Yeah.
Yep.
So 50 Krugerrands would have gotten that guy's wife.
Well, they made him take
Diplomatic
it down.
Diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity!
But apparently they made him take it down, so poor dude's going to have to find his money elsewhere.
I just have a problem here.
He could just sell her on the street, you know, pimp her out.
Yeah, that would have been cheaper. All right, and finally, our favorite person we love to hate, Paris Hilton, is going to jail.
Uh-huh.
I feel
She's
like going to
get her nipples tweaked and burnt.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they do, the new ones. They put the cigarette butt out on your nipples.
Yikes. Mm. I'm kind of upset, you guys.
Stop telling me not to be upset. I can be upset if I want to.
Huh?
The 26-year-old heiress appeared shocked as she was sentenced to a 45-day stint behind bars Friday for driving with a suspended license and other probation violations. The hotel chain namesake will call the Century Regional Detention Center facility in Linwood, California, her temporary home starting June 5th.
I'm going to milk it.
There will be no house arrest options, no monitoring bracelets breaks. She will do 45 days straight per the judge. Good
I like this.
Him.
The judge basically just, he's not having any of the crap.
Exactly.
No, which is so great because she has, you know,
she needs
she's,
it.
she gets away with murder basically every day of her life, and you know, maybe this will make her grow up a little bit and stop saying that's hot.
Yeah.
Because she is a big girl.
She needs to learn she's not above the law.
Oh, I like that, Vanessa.
Yeah, that's. Could you say that a little deeper and angrier?
What? But she's not above the law. Like,
oh, come on! You can do better than that.
You know, like movie trailer line. You know,
she needs to learn that she's not
above the law.
Exactly.
You're good. You don't even know what Ritalin is.
According to reports, someone overheard Hilton saying, "I don't know what happened. I did what they said."
I'm gonna punch your ass in your face.
Addressing the court, Hilton, of course, apologized and said she never would have gotten behind the wheel if she had known she wasn't supposed to. Per
E-News, that's what's so funny about it, because she had her suspension papers in her glove compartment.
I know, that's so...
What's that, huh? You got anything else to say?
You lying little bitch.
She said that, "I'm very sorry, and from now on I'm going to pay complete attention to everything. I'm sorry, and I did not do it on purpose at all."
You know, if anything, pay attention to... something like, you're not allowed to drive.
Yeah, why doesn't she just needs to go, you know, hand job some guy on camera again and lay there like a cold fish on her stomach while some guy plows her.
Isn't it?
That's what she's good for.
That's about it, yeah. Hilton also,
that's hot.
Boners go to die.
Michael T. Sauer, she was trying to take more responsibility for her life. This, after Hilton essentially laid the blame for her troubles on longtime...
You know, your life is screwed up when you have to announce that to people. I'm really trying to get my life back on track.
You know what's funny, though, is since she is most likely going to jail, the appeal will never happen. They'll probably try to turn it into, like, a television show.
Yeah.
You are fake!
According to this, that she's not even taking full responsibility. She's blaming it on her publicist. She said that her publicist told her that her license was only suspended for 30 days through the last of December.
Oh, you know that person is looking for a job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is that they always try to lay the blame on the publicist. And the publicist, you know, probably didn't say anything because, quite frankly, why should she care?
Yeah.
What, the publicist is supposed to hold your hand?
Well, she's an adult. She's, what, let's say 26? I mean, come on. I mean, anybody should know. If your license has been suspended, I think we all would know exactly the date the suspension is released.
You're like a pit bull, pant leg.
I think the general public is just so tired of her that I think a lot of people love this, and maybe she'll just disappear afterwards.
I really
need your dog food.
The judge, because you know how many times celebrities get off because they're celebrities, and they think, I'm glad...
What, you mean like OJ for killing his wife and another man?
Like Beretta?
Beretta.
Beretta.
You're a slut? You dress like a slut? You look like a slut?
It's like you have to look insane to go to jail, like Phil Spector.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she even showed up late for court appearance. Which I think ticked the judge off. You never show up late, okay? She was 15.
No.
And her court appearance was...
I'm gonna milk it.
30. So it wasn't like it was 8 in the morning and she overslept. This is 1:30 in the afternoon and she showed up 15 minutes late. That's number one. You're going to piss
off. Well, that's hot.
That's hot. Oh, and then, of course, her mother says, "This is pathetic and disgusting, a waste of taxpayer money with all this nonsense." Now, this
every mother says that.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
And that's all I've got.
Well, we couldn't have that now, could we?
No, I guess we can, Green Arrow, because Vanessa's not feeling well right now.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. Thank you for struggling through the news. We appreciate it. Hopefully you'll feel better by next week.
Struggling.
So,
you know how we won the Peabody Award for the last episode? That's not happened this week, unfortunately.
No, and that's all because of Vanessa. It's Vanessa's fault.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Not really. Yeah. No.
Well, you can apologize all you want, but I'm still going to punch your ass or your face.
Vanessa, I know you're upset, but...
Stop telling me not to be upset! I can be upset if I want to!
Okay, Jesus! Don't ever tell her not to be upset.
Yeah, that's hot.
It sucks because it's not my fault!
That's hot.
Alright, Bill, you ready for some DVDs? Or do they have DVDs in Seattle?
You know what? They do, surprisingly.
Awesome! Let's do it!
Let's do it!
Ha 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 ha!
Where was Steven? Damn it, Steven.
See, you know, the one moment that we actually need Steven.
I know. I just realized we need Steven for this part.
Steven, we just gave you an hour and 58 minutes to get to this part. here.
All right, let's try it. Ready? Ow!
Let's do the DVDs. DVDs. These people who listen to DVDs. This sucks. All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
Damn it, Steven.
And just before, I don't want you to be upset, Bill, but the giggler's dead.
They killed the giggler, man.
You know,
they killed the giggler.
They had no business doing that.
They really didn't. You know, I'm really beat up about it. But the giggler lives on.
Yes.
All right.
What I like about giggler?
I'm gangsta.
He was very gangsta.
He's a gangsta giggler. DVDs for May 8th, 2007 in alphabetical order for Brock.
Yes, sir.
This is Battlestar Galactica Season 2 and 2.5. So if you didn't pick up the two sets, you can get all the episodes in one nicely wrapped package.
Nice.
The following program contains graphic language. Viewer discretion advised.
Yes, it fracking does. Next DVD is Because I Said So, the horrible Diane Keaton, Mandy Moore flick. So if you're postmenopausal or about 12 years old, you might want to pick this one up.
Wow, that did look really
and female.
Bad.
Next DVD, I'm kind of interested in this. It's Big, the Tom Hanks movie, but it's the extended edition, and I don't really care about the extended. But it's the fact that this is the first time the DVD has come out with an anamorphic transfer.
Oh, really?
The original release from, like, back in the early days of DVD is, a non-anamorphic DVD, and it's you can't really watch it on a widescreen set. It looks like shit. So I think I might actually have to buy this.
Mm-hmm.
Next DVD is Breaking and Entering, a Anthony Mignella film.
Breaking to Electric Boogaloo.
Yes. I wish. I think it already came out. This is the one with Jude Law and Vera Farmiga and Ray Winston.
Ooh, I like her.
Vera Farmiga is actually oddly attractive.
Oddly?
Well, you know, I don't know. There's something about her that, you know, I don't find her like... She's like school teacher hot. Next DVD is Bridge on the River Kwai, Collector's Edition. If you haven't picked up any of the... prior editions, this movie is just terrific. It's,
David Lean, Sir David Lean. And, you know, we never mentioned that Lost did a little tribute to that.
Yeah, they did.
The And I read on a forum saying, oh, I loved how they did the Breakfast Club part. It was just like, oh,
You're not serious.
I am dead serious.
Oh, my God. That's so embarrassing.
There are people who have seen The Breakfast Club and think that that whistling scene is from The Breakfast Club.
That is so incredibly embarrassing and just sad.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
If you've never seen Bridge on the River Kwai, you really got to watch it. It's one of those movies that just holds up incredibly well.
And
They're also releasing a collector's edition of Lawrence of Arabia, which is one of my top five favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's an incredible film. Incredible.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. It's just a good movie.
Yeah. How's it a conspiracy?
Next DVD is for fans of the 80s. I remember having to watch this show at night because my dad liked it. Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, gosh.
Season 1.
The Body Massage.
With Sharon Gless, who actually looks like Roadblock now.
Bottom
awesome. You know what? I loved Cagney and Lacey. I watched it all the time.
The theme song was the best theme song in the 80s.
Oh, it was.
The Cagney and Lacey theme is up there with the Hill Street Blues theme. You know, that was like the last golden age of TV themes. Yes.
Thank you. Lord, it's kind of loud there, Foggy. The show rocked, man. This was the heyday, man. This is
good
television.
Looks like when TV was good. This is like appointment television. Yeah, you know, it's funny how the invention of TiVos and everything kind of jaded people when it comes to television. Like, in the 80s, we would actually, you know, you had to be home in time for Cheers. Or,
yeah.
You know.
You had to be home in time for Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
Shut up, giggler. I mean, really. Is everything worth giggling at? Well, I guess it is, isn't it?
It kind of is. You know, Giggler has a great look at life.
He has an innocent way about him.
Yeah, as long as you're, you know, happy stealing things from people and raping women in parking lots.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Yeah, it would be. Next DVD is the Kane Mutiny Collector's Edition, which is a classic Humphrey Bogart flick with...
not really.
Also, no. I think Fred McMurray's in it, the guy from My Three Sons.
Flubber.
Yeah, he was in Flubber, too. And not the Robin Williams
not
piece
the
of crap.
Horrendous horseshit that Robin Williams made.
You know, I saw that Robin Williams version recently, and that CGI in it is just so bad.
What's funny is when CGI really had a breakthrough, like T2...
Yeah.
CGI was in everything, and they just went crazy, and it was horrible.
Whereas James Cameron and his effects company, you know, pioneers this stuff. People then look at it and go, oh, let's just throw this here. You know, it's not needed. Well, it doesn't matter.
Let's remake Flubber and make it CGI.
Find a professor.
She said boomstick? Right, that's what I heard.
Huh?
Okay. Next DVD is the painfully bad catch and release, the Jennifer Garner.
Oh, really? I thought I heard that was okay. I mean,
it's bad. About the best part of it is really Kevin Smith, and even he's bad.
Is it like manipulative?
It's your typical cliched romantic drama comedy.
Woman finds her way.
Yeah, husband dies. The guy dies just before the wedding, and then she goes off with her friends and fall in love. And I think she falls in love with her husband's best friend.
Well, she finds out her dead fiance had a secret life.
Something. Who the hell knows?
Right.
Who really cares?
I really want to see it because I love Sidney Bristow.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should, you know, light a few candles and pop a bottle of wine open and,
I like that.
You know, sit with your wife and watch this piece of shit while you get drunk.
I really like Tim Elephant, too. He's really good in that. He's great on Deadpool.
Yeah, I like the Elephant Man.
Tim Olyphant.
I'm not an animal. Right. This next DVD is for the voyeuristic in you. It's a documentary called Deliver Us From Evil. It's about a Catholic priest named Father Oliver O'Grady who it recounts his story of sexual abuse. And it's a really interesting film that, you know, covers like sin and corruption and betrayal. And, you know, it just... it's a really good movie, if not horribly depressing. So I think the Giggler would really like this. Because in some ways it does involve rape, you know, and the Giggler loves rape.
This is really uncomfortable.
Yes.
They killed the Giggler!
Next DVD is really Dirty Dancing, the 20th Anniversary Edition.
Oh, hell it's, yes! Never. Nobody puts baby
put
in an effing quarter. Oh, sorry, Bill. I stole your line. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, it just shows we're on the same wavelength because that was
That's scary.
Movie has the most stilted dialogue ever, and it's just so much fun.
Girls your age don't do things like that. You need an explanation?
The great thing about this edition is it's got a commentary with the entire cast. It's got a tribute to Jerry Orbach because I'm sure of all the movies he wants to be remembered for.
Exactly.
Well, what's funny about Jerry Orbach is one of my favorite cartoons as a kid was The Mighty Orbots.
And you know what? He was I heard he's a second cousin of the mighty Orbach.
Sweet. The mighty Jerry Orbach.
Yes. And, you know, the biggest thing about this is it's got music videos for Hungry Eyes, which is a great song.
Oh.
And, I've Had the Time of My Life, which was another terrific song. And last but not
She's
least.
She's Like the Wind?
The incredible Patrick Swayze singing She's Like the Wind.
Awesome.
I hated when that movie was big and you hear that, do you love me? Do
oh
you
my
love
god,
me?
That was horrible.
Do you love me?
Shoot yourself and then shoot yourself again. With multiple guns, different calibers, and the howitzer. Like to borrow the zip gun from the Mexican in Devil's Ring.
Hey, Bill, I have one question for you before you move on.
Okay.
Do you love me? Do you love me?
Do I really have to answer?
Watch me now! Quack, quack, blah, 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 blah,
blah. I've had enough. Let's go to the next DVD, which is Donnie Brasco Extended Cut.
Yes.
I'm gangsta.
He was a gangster. Or
he was
an undercover
gangster.
He was
indeed a gangster
that
and
movie,
an FBI agent.
That is an excellent film. If you haven't seen it, Vanessa, you need to check it out.
Donnie Brasco? I've seen it.
With Johnny Depp.
Yes.
It's really good. You need to check it out.
Yeah, I already did.
Check it out again.
Will do. Thanks.
Now, what is there that's different about this DVD, Bill, because I already own it? Why should I purchase it again?
Because, you know, it's the extended cut. Do you not want the extended cut? I mean, what more is there? This whole selling point is the fact that it's an extended cut. You've never seen this cut before. It's been extended.
And
nothing
you know,
like being extended and cut.
I love the whole forget about it explanation.
Wow, Vanessa trying to slip in a circumcision reference
wow.
there.
Wow. Good
Let's
job.
Talk about movies, you perv.
I'm going to milk it.
Well, speaking of perv, the next DVD is a very important film. It's The Inconfessable Orgies of Emmanuel. Yes.
I'm going to anal probe you.
It's the original Eurocult favorite, Emmanuel.
Yeah, that there's a whole series of films on Emmanuel, and it's always
but
a different
is,
chick, right?
Emmanuel in space?
Yeah, she's been all the way to space.
Yes, she has. Krista Allen. That was my favorite series because it
but
was Krista Allen.
But seriously, have there been more Emmanuel films than James Bond films?
Well, no,
oh,
there's
I'm
been
sure
more
there
Angel
has.
Films. Like Angel, remember she was the
oh,
hooker
Jesus,
by
Oh, Jesus, Vanessa.
Remember?
Ain't it awful?
Yes, I remember this. I think there was
the
only
The fact that
two
Vanessa years. Even remembers that stuff is kind of
scary?
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be leaving for
no
the
wonder
church?
She's always talking about how, you know, men are evil and everything. I think you're a lesbian.
Extended and cut? No, I love men.
Okay, so, yeah, I guess this is like the original French version thing.
You're not supposed to see any of that stuff.
Well, you know, I know how uncomfortable Eddie Deason gets around naked women.
Well, you gotta take all your clothes off and run around the pool butt naked.
Oh, wow, she sounds really smoky.
She loves menthols.
The next movie is Music and Lyrics with Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, that'll go in and out of theaters the same amount of time as this new poker flick with her in it.
Yeah, so we'll just forget about that.
Well, here's
that
the
one.
Thing, Bill. It's the new poker flick.
Lucky You.
With her in The Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
What's crazy is it's directed by Curtis Hanson.
Yeah, he's an excellent director, but he just picks strange material. Hey, I'm not going to write it off because I love that guy's films. First of all, I love L.A. Confidential, and I loved Wonder Boys, too. So he also made the Eminem film I've never seen. Was it a mistake to not watch that?
I can't bring myself to watch it.
Neither can I.
End of story.
But you know, I just don't like him so much, that Eminem character so much that
but,
I just...
Yeah, but I really love Curtis Hanson, so maybe I'll see this when it comes out on DVD, and hopefully it's not bad.
Yeah. Again, you know,
which
I guess
has nothing
maybe
to do about the DVD you're talking about, by the way.
Yeah. I guess maybe Sony is pumping these things out for some reason, but again, we have Revenge, the Kevin Costner, Anthony Quinn, Madeleine Stowe movie.
I'm going to say masturbating in a minute. Am I allowed?
Being released in its unrated director's cut.
Unrated?
Yes.
Hey, it's so Tony Scott before he lost his freaking mind. I mean, seriously, so, how can anyone sit through Domino? I really want to know that.
Yeah, it's painful. And that's what was so funny about Hot Fuzz is how at those certain parts, how they really mimic Tony Scott's shot, especially during the end sequence where they're booking all the town people.
Right, and they did it lovingly. It's not like they're making fun of it.
Well, they've got to be making some fun of it.
But you also got to get the feeling that they just love every movie they see.
Ridiculous, you know, yeah.
But I'm sorry, but Domino, I know we have friends that like it and they've talked about the greatness of Tony Scott. He's challenging Hollywood. Hey, look what I'm doing.
Hollywood.
I'm doing something different. I'm taking artistic merit. No, he's not. He's lost his freaking mind and he's jerking off.
Challenging Hollywood. You misunderstood. He's artistically challenged.
Oh, that's what I mean.
He's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So.
I can't remember. I was high at the time.
I mean, say what you will about Revenge, which isn't that great a movie, or
it's not.
Something like True Romance, which is good in spite of Tony Scott, I think. But
yeah, I would agree with that.
He hasn't made that many great films. I really don't think.
No, he hasn't. He's kind of like the bastard child.
The bastard child of Giggler is what he is.
Yeah. So technically, Ridley Scott's the offspring of the Giggler?
Yes.
He steals cameras.
That's why he wanted the camera.
He's going to go make a... He's going to be the still photographer on Revenge with Kevin Costner. I really need that job. I'm taking his camera, Paul Kersey.
And that's DVDs for May 8th, 2007.
Really?
Gormis got it, freak.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs all the way from Seattle.
Yes.
It's the first time you've ever done the show from another state, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the first time.
Well, a different state than usual.
No, I think I did one of the earlier episodes from back home in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay, because Steven's done a couple from San Francisco.
Yeah, I'll never forget the one where he fell asleep.
Hello,
on the couch during the show.
Hey, Bill, do you hear that? Is Steven sleeping? Yes. He's like, whoa. No, guys, I was just resting my eyes for a second. That's my favorite reply. I'm just resting my eyes for a second.
No, when you call someone, you're like, did I wake you up? No,
everybody says that. I'm just resting my eyes.
Did I just say I was sleeping? I dozed off.
I'm guilty of it when someone calls, hey, did I wake you up?
I know. Vanessa, what? I don't understand why you do that because you're like, oh, okay. Are you asleep? No.
But I'm so out of it. I'm so out of it because I don't even
Hey,
realize.
Lurch, can you tell Vanessa I called? You rang.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Everybody, that was episode 78 of Nowhere in Mulberry, dedicated to Steven, and we really hope he's back next week. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, which is nowhereinmulberry.com. There you'll find links to our email, nimpodcast@gmail.com, our forum, nimforum.com. I invite everyone to join our forum. Also, you'll find links to our many favorite sites, such as Mulberry Old School. If you want to go back and listen to episode 1 of Nowhere in Mulberry, you can by following
the classic
link.
Awfully referenced.
I would want to. I don't know why.
Also, if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, much like Mick McCart do, call 1-206-202-3491. And we will promptly play it on the air, and you will be a celebrity, much like Screech.
I'm gangster.
Is that making a sex tape?
Yes, exactly, Vanessa.
Claiming you have a gigantic dick.
What was that, Bill?
Well, I remember before the sex tape came out, Screech was like on all the different shows saying, "Yeah, I've got a, it's a curse. I've got a gigantic, you know, penis. It hangs in
is
the
it
water.
Is extended and uncut?
Poop and yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna
Jesus.
Milk it.
Can you let that one go just for a little while? I think that's like the 10th time you've said that.
Second.
Oh, second. No,
men are horrible counters.
But
they killed yeah, the giggler, man.
What did Vanessa say multiple times?
What was it? Extended and uncut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, it gets funnier each time. Does
it really does. I'm laughing on the inside.
Oh, hey, Vanessa, you laugh at animal suffering.
Every time you say it, Vanessa, it gets funnier. Right, Lindsay Lohan?
Not really. No.
Shut up, you bitch.
Vanessa, don't get upset.
Oh, it's because you don't have herpes.
Now, Vanessa, before we go, we have a listener who wants to tell you something.
Oh, gosh.
Bitch, I'm gonna punch your ass in your face!
Exactly. Now, Bill, I want you to enjoy your time there in Seattle. And,
I will.
You're going to a live show tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm going to see Explosions in the Sky.
Awesome.
The band that does the, or did the music for Friday Night Lights, the movie, which they use a lot in the show now.
That is true, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know Explosions in the Sky, they do the theme to Friday Night Lights.
An electric orchestra, but not an electric light orchestra.
Right. Nobody can top ELO, though.
No, it's just really amazing. They're good.
I wonder if they'll play this, like, to open the show.
I don't... you know what? I think they recorded that song specifically for the show, because it's not really any one of their songs.
Oh, I gotcha. But they have incredible music, and how weird is it that they have no singer?
Yeah, I know. So it's like each person in the band is as important as the next.
Right, it's instrumental. It's almost like they're all communicating with each other via instruments.
Yes, it is. It's like the ultimate jam session.
Yeah. That's
but I'm seeing them, and Allevium is opening for them, another kind of, they're kind of a techno-y instrumental band. And if you know, they're just good music to listen to. I got
to
recommend Explosions
to think
in the Sky, Allevium, and another great band is God is an Astronaut. So.
And guys, thank you for joining us this week, and we're going to close out with some awesome Aw Shucks music. So bad.
I know. I was watching Death Wish 3 the other day, and when that came on, I just burst out laughing.
Is this music from a different movie? What the hell?
Yeah.
Is that after he goes, "It's a tooth"?
Yeah, it is actually.
Really?
Yeah. What is that?
It's a tooth. Teeth. And it's... cue music. Everybody, see you later. Bye.
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 Later days, everybody. I love the giggler.
The giggler, man.
They killed the giggler!
They had no business doing that.
Now this is podcasting.